Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget Mondays, our lunch partner, our friends over at 30 Hop, $5.99 classic burgers, 30 Hop in Lee Summit, 30 Hop over in Merriam's Grand Station. You stop in for lunch, stay for a great happy hour, 30hop.com. That's 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio.
Okay, so you teased something before the break.
Yeah, and then I want to talk about Tyquan Thorne because he deserves plenty of attention today with how he performed and where we go from here with Tyquan Thorne in this Chiefs offense. But somebody texted in earlier, and I saw it. It just wasn't the right time to talk about it because we were keying in on, I think, that point in time, I don't know, Travis Kelce combo or something. Someone texted in earlier, and it reminded me of something I saw Saturday, and I should have screenshotted, but I didn't. I think I
just texted it to you guys. I found the...
Okay. You found it?
You can watch the video. Maybe mute
your mic so it's not going over the air, but you can watch the video. So someone texted in and said, hey, I know there's a lot of stuff for you guys to talk about, but we cannot breeze by the ridiculous sunglasses Drew had on the station Instagram Live and story this weekend when he was talking about Missouri's football.
These are my sunglasses. Like,
someone said they opened it up and died laughing. And they described it, I think, accurately. Maybe it was the angle. Oversized sunglasses, big fake diamond studded earrings.
Those aren't real diamonds?
No tank top this time. Last week you were in a tank top doing the video, which goes back to the selfie. And multiple people were laughing on the stream about it.
Very big sunglasses.
They're oversized. On the stream, I'll try to hold up the video as much as I can there.
If you want to see what it looks like over on YouTube,
these are the same.
What do we think, guys? What do we think, Cody? What do you think?
These are the same earrings that I wear.
Text line says, "LOL, I saw this too."
I gotta say, between the gigantic sunglasses and your hair looking big, you kind of look like an '80s female musician.
You're saying I got a perm for this.
Look,
you're saying.
I'm not saying, like, I think some of it might be the angle.
I think the phone is too low, or something. I think that might be
hurting you.
I think it's the angle.
But it's like, I don't know. It's an interesting look. It's not your best look, you know? Just as, like, for the camera angle, they do look like female sunglasses. Those are ladies' frames, you know, the Seinfeld reference.
That's what it looks like.
Well,
listen,
these your wife's sunglasses?
No.
Huh. Is that your most common? You wear a lot of different earrings.
I wear these sunglasses all the time. I've worn these sunglasses.
Someone said we're just glad.
We don't see sunglasses very often, in fairness,
right,
because
true.
We're usually inside.
Someone said we're just glad that Drew has a shirt on for finally. That's true. If there was no shirt on, that thing oh my goodness.
Is he going to just do one shirtless?
Someone says, my buddy told me to watch the station's Instagram story. And we both got a huge kick out of it. Funky Drew, they said.
Funky Drew.
Over on Twitch, legendary lawyer says, those look like my three-year-old wearing my normal size sunglasses.
I can't read some of these.
No, you can't. That one is out of pocket.
I don't know, man.
No, I do not drive that car. Somebody from the 913. I do not drive that car.
You drive a Kia, right?
Correct. I drive a Kia.
I don't know, man. It was an interesting look.
His boy, George, a hero of his.
George, did you also say that you do own a digital camera, like a point and shoot?
The high school thing I get, we're just old.
He's considerably younger. He's 10 years younger than me, but I mean, he's 10 years away from these teenagers. Yeah. He's stuck in no man's land. He's still got the digital camera.
Well, it's because I like I think it shoots. It depends on the picture quality. Like, so I've got a Nikon. It shoots sometimes as good picture quality as the iPhone, as my current iPhone does. So I'll take the camera. I don't know. It's different. It doesn't feel like the same old everyday thing. I'm gonna go take a camera. And I'm just gonna intently take, you know, some pictures on the beach or whatever.
I have like
the case.
A DSLR like, photo nice. For well, like that. If that I'm trying to take like a higher quality, better res photo, like I have like a real, not like a point and shoot. They're just using like the ones I would use in like high school, just like a card, a deck of cards size, like point and shoot.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Before cameras on phones got
were good enough. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some pretty bad ones there in the early going of phones, but you know what? Drew, do you, man. If you'd like to catch it, Drew does some stuff on our social media
on Saturdays, college football reaction. College football. He was talking about Missouri if you weren't too distracted by, by the earrings and sunglasses. He had some good thoughts on Missouri's win against South Carolina.
Somebody is suggesting that we start a station only vans.
Well, if anybody was, it would be you. You've got the digital camera ready to go and everything. Mm. So, you know.
It's a good point. All right, let's talk a little Tyquan Thornton.
Yes.
Who did have a tremendous game, the best of his pro career. He's already only 100 yards away from a career high in single-season receiving yardage. It's hard to remember this. Tyquan Thornton was a Sky Moore-level bust for the Patriots. He was picked just a couple of picks apart. It was actually the Chiefs pick who selected Tyquan Thornton. They traded down with the Patriots. He was a Sky Moore-level bust. He was a nothing for their franchise and did nothing for their franchise the entire time he was with him. He came here, we called him the camp darling, and I had pretty low expectations, admittedly, for Tyquan Thornton. I thought he could be a deep passing guy, thought he had a nice training camp. I've seen lots of guys have nice training camps that don't amount to stuff in the regular season. And while Xavier Worthy's injury and Rashee Rice's suspension are helping him do work,
sure,
he's been a major contributor and the second best player in offense outside of Patrick Mahomes to this point. And that's not something I was expecting to say, and probably speaks poorly on the offense as a whole a little.
Oh, sure.
But this isn't about him. He helped save their season yesterday by making several key, important plays.
He absolutely did. And he is their best playmaker on offense right now. He's their most explosive player on the field. Yeah. Until Xavier Worthy is back, he is that answer. And your hope is, of course, that you eventually get to see Worthy, Rice, Brown, and Tyquan Thornton on a football field. All of a sudden, that didn't sound too bad. All of a sudden, you can talk yourself into maybe some things getting fixed. There's a ton of other issues, O-line, running game. We've been highlighting those today, and obviously we'll continue to do so throughout the week heading into the game against Baltimore. But Tyquan Thornton is going to have a role for this team all season long, and it only is going to increase in terms of the trust down the field and how many opportunities he gets because of what just happened last night. Now, I don't know, like, we can play the depth chart game. I don't really care where he ends up on the quote-unquote depth chart. Is he listed above Brown? I don't know if that matters, Cody. It's going to be when those guys are back, he is clearly going to be a guy, along with Worthy, those will be the two, that will be able to stretch the field. And that is something they have not had in a couple of years. And so having two players that now can stretch the field, whenever that happens, you would like to think could allow Rice or Hollywood Brown or Travis Kelce to have a little more success underneath.
Wasn't Hollywood originally a stretch the field guy?
Correct.
He has not been that for the Chiefs.
What's crazy is he's played only a handful of games more, like three more games than Tyquan Thornton in his Chiefs career because of the injury, right? I mean, if you include the postseason, how many games has Hollywood Brown now played in a Chiefs uniform? Eight?
Yeah.
Seven?
Probably. And Tyquan's played three.
I mean, so it's not much different. Tyquan Thornton, of course, has had a bigger impact to this point in time in his short period of time with the team. And last night, I agree with what you said. I think what we were talking about earlier. That was a season-saving touchdown or catch. It was absolutely down at the 1 yard line. You know what I mean? But season saving catch.
He had a touchdown on an absolute rifle from Patrick Mahomes.
Three big third down catches in the game last night.
Including the one that was a touchdown that I thought sealed the game and confirmed that the Chiefs were definitively going to win that versus had they kicked another field goal then and went up 12-6 instead of got the touchdown and actually got a sizable lead, a double digit, a two score lead on them at the time, I might have felt a lot different about it. Look, Tyquan's got a role. I think he should get more targets than Hollywood Brown. He's got half as many catches as Hollywood Brown and almost identical number of yardage. That's because, and this is what's more important than anything, Tyquan Thornton's average yards per target is 25 yards per target. That is not, and look, their offense is not fixed. It's still got broken parts. There's a stat I'll give you tomorrow as part of the show that still points to some big issues that are part of the problem on offense. But when you look, one thing you and I know, they did not possess last season was an ability to go downfield at all, Gold. They had zero deep passing game. They were the worst big play offense in the entire NFL last year. They've been one of the worst big play offenses in the NFL for 2 years in a row. They didn't have a guy who averaged 25 yards a target. And now they do in Tyquan Thornton. He doesn't have to be a superstar. He doesn't have to be a 1,000-yard-a-year guy.
Yeah.
Can he be what MVS, and we can knock MVS all we want, was available to do at times for this team when they were good?
Yeah, the Tyquan Thornton element has been there since week one. That's what's, you know, even when they were really, really struggling against the Chargers, the one thing that they still had an opportunity to do was connect down the field. They just didn't connect. And so through three games, I would argue the most positive thing that has happened has been the fact that the offensive of game plan, as the game has gone on, whether you want to give credit to Andy Reid or Matt Nagy or whoever, they've been able to either scheme Tyquan Thornton open or just said, "Hey, dude, just go beat your guy and get open down, you know, straight line, like literally just run deep and Mahomes will get it to you." And that's basically kind of what happened.
And
that is something that's been there each and every week. That's why I think it's real. It's not something fluky. That's going to be there all year for them. You can't even say like, "Well, there's film." They've had. The Giants had
the only guy
2 weeks
right
of film on it. And I know the Giants secondary is not great. They'll get Baltimore this Sunday. And obviously they got some better safeties and Kyle Hamilton. And that'll be a challenge for Kansas City. No doubt about it. But Tyquan Thornton is going to give them an opportunity each and every week to at least hit on one of those.
Those plays should be even easier when everyone's back. Like tape 3 weeks from now, and Rashee Rice is technically in the facility starting today.
Yeah.
He can attend meetings and stuff like that. He can't practice yet. They obviously don't want to make a suspension longer than just the suspension. So they let you get back to some of the work so that when you are off suspension, it's like you didn't miss, you don't have to miss additional time.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
Yeah. So, but when they're back, Thornton's job, it's hard now. Who else are they really targeting? Travis is still like 2-3 catches a game. Hollywood's some catches, but there's a limit. And no Xavier Worthy back. Once Worthy and you're going to have to let Tyquan Thornton have one-on-one coverage sometimes because you're not going to just give up on covering Rashee Rice or Xavier Worthy. So like Tyquan's job should get easier. I question whether or not, and I think someone over on Twitter last night had said it, and I'm trying to decide like how I envision his role. Like, is he just more explosive Justin Watson? 1-3 catches a game, but one of them's big. Because if that's an okay role for Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah,
I'm trying to decide where he is when people come back. Because Justin Watson was kind of their only big play, I guess, over the last couple of years. Not big play, but you get the point.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mahomes clearly trusts him. So that's going to bode well also moving forward for Tyquan Thornton. In terms of actual targets and receptions, I don't think Tyquan's going to be a guy, whether guys are healthy or not, that's going to have, you know, 6 or 7 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown. I think it's still going to be in that 2-4 catch range for hopefully 60, 70 plus yards and a touchdown. And you connect on a big one.
Yeah.
Like that's probably what
kind of how they played Justin Watson.
Last night he had 3 big catches on the third downs. You know, I don't think he's going to get targeted 10 times. That's not the type of receiver he's going to be. And that's fine. He has a specific role, and it's going to be down the field, stretch the defense, and that's going to continue to be the case no matter who's healthy or not. That's going to be there all year for them.
Good find from Brett Veach. Look, we can talk about, like, honestly, not quite like Dorsey. Maybe this is a bigger picture conversation worth having because we were talking about the Butker issues and obviously the money and the play they've gotten out of some of the guys they've spent a lot of money on. The long-term contracts is when things have been a little bit shaky for Brett Veach lately. The let's go find a guy and make him an immediate contributor to our team, like Drew Tranquil and Tyquan Thornton. They haven't had any trouble there. They found guys off the street to be a contributor to their team kind of right away. And Thornton's another example of that. They'd given up on him. He was cut off of a 3-14 Patriots team who, to be clear, had no other receiving options last year. Barely have any receiving options this year. And so, like, Thornton should have had an opportunity to like showcase some of that, and it didn't matter because they were done with him there.
There's another wide receiver injury to talk about outside of the NFL, just to mention at least from Adam Schefter. CeeDee Lamb suffered a high ankle sprain in their loss to the Bears. He is unlikely to play Sunday night against the Packers, according to Adam Schefter. They want to see how Lamb is doing the next 10 to 14 days before making further determinations about his status. So he's going to miss some time and already a mess of a Cowboys team. Just some NFL news. Obviously, the Chiefs don't play the Cowboys till Thanksgiving or whatever. So, but and he'll likely be back by then, but something to keep it on. The Cowboys are a disaster with that defense, and now their offensive playmaker, the number one playmaker, is going to be out for a game against the Packers team that just lost to the Browns. Good luck, Dallas. Good luck.
Historically, yeah, they're going to be motivated. And Micah Parsons reunion and all that other stuff.
Good luck, Jerry.
Historically, Jerry Jones has done the opposite of this. Brian Schottenheimer getting more than 1 year?
No way.
Is there any chance that Schottenheimer he's a one and done? It happens every once in a while. That's what I'm saying. It happens all the time in the NFL.
I think he gets your owner and GM traded away your best football player a week before the season. What do you expect? Their defense is absolutely abysmal. So unless they end up with a 3-win season, I think he'll be around for another year.
They're 1-2. They won a game.
They beat the Giants.
Oh, that's right.
And that 37 or whatever
overtime
it was.
Needed a field goal from Aubrey and OT and
the over was, hit in that game.
It did. It definitely did. So anyway, just some NFL news there. The biggest positive on the other side of the ball is just that the incremental improvement has been there, and that is Steve Spagnuolo getting these guys not only lined up properly and all that. He's incredible. He really is. It's 8 quarters now in a row. The Chargers game was a disaster, but 8 quarters in a row where the defense has shut down top wide receivers. This isn't random white wide receiver, wide receiver out there, that people like to mention all the time, like, oh, this random guy out there just in the slot or whatever. No, we're talking about A.J. Brown. We're talking about
Malik Neighbors, who was coming off a massive game the week before. Lowest
career yardage total since he's been in the league and all that. Like, these are legit wide receivers right now that have been able to step up typically and have big time performances, and they have shut them down. I thought Jalen Watson deserves a lot of credit right now for how they're playing.
Overall, it's the best unit on the field. And I mean, considerably better than just about any other unit on the field, the secondary and the defense as a whole.
Yeah.
After the first week in which Quentin Johnson got him and they had a lot of blown coverages, not the kind of mistakes where like they can't guard someone, they can't tackle someone, as in they were just nowhere near the players for the Chargers, and they were just running free. Malik Neighbors, even after yesterday, is the fourth leading receiver in the NFL. So, I mean, and he didn't have a catch.
He's still fourth?
Yes.
Jeez.
And he didn't have a catch until late in the third quarter, and that was like a 4-yard slant or whatever it was. And so, the only guys who have more are Ricky Pearsall. Jackson
he had a huge
Smith,
game.
He just had a huge game. Jackson Smith and Jigboos had a great start to a season. Puka Nacua, who has been the leading wide receiver in the NFL pretty much from week one. And so when you look at what they've been able to do, I think it's more like, and look, the talent's there. They have talent. Steve Spagnuolo is better than anybody at this. I'm assuming you guys saw the same thing I did. Next Gen Stats, they ran a split safety thing, which they never run, and nobody in the NFL runs. And they ran it 70% of the time, way higher than anyone runs. And it was clearly the smartest defense to run against Russell Wilson because they had absolutely zero answer for it. He confuses people more than anyone else in the NFL. He gets people off their game.
Game to game, his plan is different. Like, his ability to adapt has been so great for Kansas City over the years. And you go from a game against Jalen Hurts where they blitzed, what was it, like 64% of the time, I think it was, against Jalen Hurts, to now doing what you're saying, a completely different script. It's been really, really impressive. This is why they're going to have a chance even to win while they're trying to figure out this offense that is clearly going to still be a problem for weeks and weeks and weeks, even with the positive end of Tyquan Thornton, is that the defense will have a plan. Spags is going to give them an opportunity to be in the game. So we'll see what Baltimore looks like tonight against Detroit. The Ravens are home. I think they're like 4.5-point favorites. They've had good plans for Lamar in the past, too. And so on Sunday, you get the game at home. My guess is there will be some wrinkles that Spags has that makes things difficult. Doesn't mean Lamar won't have some big plays.
Lamar's great.
Lamar's an unbelievable player.
And Zay Flowers is another test. He's 10th in the NFL, 12th in the NFL in receiving yards right now. He's actually the second highest average yards per game in the NFL. So if he keeps that up, he'll be the second leading receiver after tonight.
I'm really interested to see if Isaiah Likely will be back for that game because he's not playing tonight. He hasn't played all year.
Nope.
Is he back for that game against the Chiefs? Where last year in that first game, he was really, really effective.
Is he going to have the different color shoe this time so he doesn't get... that was the whole thing. Mahomes was like, wear white shoes next time, man. Mm.
They still would have gotten him on the line, I think, but I get the point.
I don't know.
It was close.
I don't know. I mean, that'll come up again later in the week, I'm sure. I just think Steve Spagnuolo, while they still don't have a great pass rush, They're still having to come up scheme-wise with ways to get pressure on the quarterback, Cody. That this defense, the fact that they go from week one to what they did to Jalen Hurts, giving up 101, 110 yards, to then what they just did against Russ. And I know Russell Wilson is a shell of himself from what he was before. He did throw for 450 the week before.
Yeah, all right? But he was the leading passer through 2 weeks.
He was awful last night. A lot of that was the Chiefs and their ability to do it. So I think the defense will continue to get a little bit better, and they're going to have to if this offense is going to still struggle the way it obviously is.
Credit to them. They keep trying to solve their cornerback issues, and their cornerback issues seem to be solved by if Jalen Watson is healthy, they can cover. Right? Like, they go after Christian Fulton. They go after these other guys. They try other players in the middle of last season. They were bouncing between Joshua Williams and a million other guys and Nazi Johnson. And as simple for them is, if Jalen Watson is healthy, they can cover. They can move people around, and he is enough of a swing guy and a good enough corner that they can let Trent McDuffie do whatever he wants, just as long his health has been a huge factor in whether or not their coverage skills hold up. Like, he is an important player for them. Not to mention, they were not a single one of those deep passes from Russell Wilson was close to being completed.
No.
They were all closer to being completed to a Chiefs player.
He got greedy. He got impatient and started to take some shots that just were not there.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to run the football, and Russ wanted, you know, he can't help himself. He wanted to go down the field. That's what he's done throughout his entire career. And yeah, there were some bad throws. And fortunately, the Chiefs took advantage of those opportunities. The other player, once again, that now I think has solidified at least a nickel corner role is Noel Williams, the rookie.
He plays hard-nosed football. He's a bit sloppy. Physical. He makes some mistakes, but he's a physical guy. Yeah. I like that.
There might be a time where he gets called for a penalty. That's, you know, like that might happen as he learns the position more. But Spags has got these guys playing better football. This is what he consistently does. And my guess is, as the season goes on, we'll be saying, oh, this player is having a much better season. The question is, can he get the pass rush going? It was an issue last year, too.
I thought that was part of their decision to do Omar Norman Lott. And again, they're missing Dana, who's not a great pass rusher, but he's been one of their more consistent guys
Sunday.
Over the last couple of years. The biggest problem they've had is Charles Omeniyi, who's a no-show. Three games into the season, Charles Omeniyi is a no-show.
I agree.
He has not been a player that has mattered in any of the three games. The first time his name got called in the last game is when he was dinged up in the middle of it. And so their biggest issue right now is that their outside pass rush help opposite George Karloftis is a non-existent player. You can't. I mean, you're not going to survive that way. Karloftis has been a little below his normal play, but a Minihue no-showing is a bigger problem.
Monday's football coverage presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success. At Busey Bank, they've been building businesses and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at buseybank.com. All right, we'll get a little what's trending in. We'll talk about the future quarterback maybe for the Giants. And what are we expecting tonight? The Chiefs' future opponent plays the Lions this evening.
Kind of look like an 80s female.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Musician?
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, of course, the Chiefs got a much needed win to get in the win column in the 2025 season with their 22-9 win against the Giants last night. For once, Patrick Mahomes did not lead this team in rushing. That was Isaiah Pacheco on 10 carries, had 45 yards. Tyquan Thorne, the leading receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. They now get set to take on Baltimore, and we'll be talking more about that game here in just a second. The Ravens host the Detroit Lions tonight, so chance to see a little bit more about Lamar Jackson and company this evening.
In a weird way, I think I'd rather the Ravens win. I don't want them feeling this pressure of being 1-2, the same as Kansas City, to try to save their season because they let that game against Buffalo get away from them. just from like a motivation standpoint. But the Ravens are going into that game thinking about the Chiefs game the same, I guess, either way. Next up on What Training, a lot of injuries in the NFL in week two. I already told you James Conner and Najee Harris are expected to be done for the season because of their injuries. Nick Bosa, just minutes ago, Adam Schefter reporting that Nick Bosa does in fact have a torn ACL. According to Kyle Shanahan, who spoke to media today, he's expected to be gone for the entire season as well. CeeDee Lamb has a high ankle sprain. He's expected to not be checked out for at least 2 weeks. Over for the Dallas Cowboys. So massive injury news. Is it fair at some point for the 49ers, if you're the most injured team 3 years in a row, am I allowed to ask if you got a bad training staff? Or I mean, a coach who makes your play too much hurt, or like something's going on there.
Yeah, but
you can't
Bosa,
just be the most injured team every year.
I know, but like Bosa ACL injury, I mean, it's the same knee that he had one in before, and it just, I mean, ACL injury can just,
you're
happen.
More prone to have them after you have it once, I think.
That's I know, a, but just they're the most injured team 3 years in a row.
Oh, no, no, for sure.
They don't have their starting quarterback, they don't have their starting tight end, they don't have their starting defensive end, they don't have starting wide receiver. They're hurt again. They're just hurt.
Because didn't Brock Purdy had the elbow thing last year, and now he's got the toe thing. Yeah, it's
something's going on there. Maybe it's just in the water. I don't know. Or maybe they need to lay new sod. I don't know. But either way, something's going on in San Francisco. A lot of injuries.
College football over the weekend. KU got a win easily over West Virginia to open up Big 12 play there at the booth. Missouri with a crucial win against South Carolina in SEC play. We're going to talk more about the Tigers and the Jayhawks tomorrow on a Tuesday. And we'll also have Drew give us an update on the national college football scene as well with some of the results, including a little shakeup in the Heisman race. At least there's a new quarterback that has the second best odds, probably a stunner for a lot of people. Probably not a name anybody's really ever heard of.
Stoneham Missouri players, which is kind of crazy given how Ahmad Hardy's been playing.
I was about to say, that'd be the one. If you were going to have a Missouri player on the list right now, it'd be Hardy. He's been incredible. Next up on What's Trending, Bruce Pearl is expected to step down as Auburn's head coach. Could be as soon as immediate, according to multiple reports. I think Pete Thamel had it first over there. He's expected to, I don't know about name, but his son, Stephen Pearl, is expected to take over as Auburn's head coach. They made the Final Four last year. They're without their best player, but they made the Final Four last year, and they're in the SEC. Hell of a job for his son to step into. Multiple rumors say he might run for political office. We'll see. Yeah. He's obviously gotten plenty of TV work before and is actually pretty good at it. So we'll see if that's a part of his plan as well. But he's stepping down just weeks before the college basketball season starts, obviously, so his son could get the job. That's why he's waiting.
That's the timing of it. Yeah. And it does sound like there's some thought that there's a real opportunity for him, perhaps, when it comes to politics and things like that. That is what's trending. Here on Cody and Gold, we'll talk about the Ravens in just a little bit. But when we were mentioning Russell Wilson's performance, I don't know what the incentive is at all if you're the Giants to not start Jackson Dart moving forward. Like
you got it.
Well, what's the point of doing that?
Those last three plays from Russell Wilson alone would have made me start Jackson Dart. He threw three passes that had 0% completion chance to any wide receiver who wasn't 14 feet tall.
Brian Daboll was shaking his head on those fourth downs a couple times. You gotta give your team a chance. You gotta throw the football. You can't just run it and be short of the line of scrimmage or the first down marker. You can't do that.
Well, and also, like, if you're Brian Daboll, what's there to lose? You're gonna lose your job the way this is going. You're 0-3. Your team stinks. Your quarterback stinks. Your defense stinks. And if you're gonna lose your job. If you just keep starting Russell Wilson, you're fired. And the GM's fired too. They kept them all, which is insane in its own right. But you're all going to get fired. So if Jackson Dart happens to be good and he makes your team look a lot better, maybe there is some miracle land, Gold, in which you get to stay employed. And like for every perspective, that Malik Nabers is unhappy, your team looks disinterested, and you've lost every game. And I get it. I could make an argument you could have beaten the Chiefs because it was 6-6. Almost at halftime, although you were clearly an awful team yourself. Certainly could have beaten the Cowboys. You're on three. Start Jackson Dart this week. I mean, don't even waste any more time. What a waste of time it would be to start Russell Wilson for one more game. We probably watched the last start Russell Wilson makes as a full-time NFL starter. He's not getting another gig.
I know he had 450 yards the week before. That saved his job for a week. But now your team's 0-3, so you're going nowhere. You might as well start going forward. And Brian Daboll, you're a sitting duck at this point, right? Like, you're a lame duck coach, and most people believe you're going to get fired at the end of the season. The question is, will you get fired in season? I think going to Jackson Dart might save his job in season, at least.
Maybe. But, like, here's the thing. Maybe Jackson Dart is C.J. Stroud. And, like, I don't know this. Rookie quarterbacks come from a lot of different
ways. Hopefully he's not this C.J. Stroud. Hopefully he's one from 2 years
ago. He's rookie season C.J. Stroud. He's rookie season Justin Herbert. Whatever. The guys who burst onto the scene immediately. And all of a sudden, you scratch out 7-8 wins. Maybe you can talk your boss into letting you have a job.
No, that'd be a mistake.
Of course, it'd be a huge.
If the Giants did that, they did it for Daniel Jones.
They're already stupid enough to keep Brian Daboll and the GM hired after this year. So they're definitely dumb enough to do it. So give yourself a chance to actually keep your job. You cannot keep your job and start Russell Wilson. So, like, who are you doing it for? Just to keep Russ happy? Did you make him a promise?
You heard it. I mean, you heard it last night. Anytime they brought in Dart for a special package, they cheered. And then when they would bring Russell Wilson back in, the fans would boo Russell Wilson as he was walking back on the field. If you're a Giants fan, all you've seen is losing here for a while. The only hope you have is that Jackson Dart's that guy. You don't want to see Russell Wilson. You don't want to see Jameis Winston either.
They gave
you
him two red zone snaps too.
Yes. Yes.
And look, based on the way that thing finished, I don't blame him. Also, should the Bengals trade for Russell Wilson? Maybe they could have Russell.
That's a good idea.
Or Jameis. Honestly, both would be better than Jake Browning.
If we're talking entertainment, Jameis Winston with those guys. Stat line would be 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. It would be every game.
Drew, if your team's going to stink, I can speak from experience. If your team's going to stink, they might as well be fun to watch. Like, I'm just saying, they might as well be entertaining. And right now, the last game from... Actually, Cincinnati's offense the entire year has been
bad.
They have the Bengals have the Broncos, the Lions, the Packers, the Steelers, the Jets, then the Bears coming up. Now, they are in first place currently. It's September 22nd, but obviously they don't have a starting quarterback.
Are they tied for first? What's the Steelers record?
They're tied for first. Yes, they're tied. They got a better conference record, I believe, which is why they're
tiebreakers week 3. Ooh. Those are big. 2-1 Steelers, and then obviously the Ravens could go 2-1 tonight if they win. What are you looking forward to that game tonight? We'll talk more about it tomorrow, obviously, because it's the Chiefs' opponent. First off is I want to see how good Baltimore, like first and foremost, how good is Baltimore's defense operating and how good are they operating on the defensive line on the possibility that Matt Ebuke maybe is not available next week too, because the Chiefs' offense needs any help it can get. So I'm paying a lot of attention to how they look on the defensive side of the football and which areas they are weak, because that's where the Chiefs are going to need some assistance. I'm not saying I'm not watching Zay Flowers and these other guys, but I am curious how their defense plays.
Yeah, I think that's the area that is more vulnerable. We saw it last year. You kind of know what you're getting from Lamar. You know what you're going to get from Derrick Henry. I will say, though, do the Ravens establish anybody else in the receiving game besides Zay Flowers after tonight, you know, that you're worried about? Because Zay Flowers is who's getting, you know, 90%+ of targets, I feel like, in that offense.
Maybe DeAndre Hopkins?
Maybe tonight's the night where DeAndre Hopkins, they need somebody else to compliment Zay Flowers in the passing game. If all of a sudden D-Hop goes off tonight for the Ravens and they have Flowers, well, then the Chiefs got more guys to worry about and all that, and it becomes more of a problem. But I told you, I have confidence right now in the defense and with their ability to shut down some top wide receivers. They did that. So I think the running game for the Chiefs, you know, how much, you know, they've faced Derrick Henry, I don't know how many times at this point in their
and they do a good job against
and Spags
Henry.
Has gotten, they typically have a decent plan. You know, they get a good plan for Barkley, good plan for Derrick Henry. But yeah, what's the linebacking and defensive line look like for the Ravens tonight against a Lions team? I don't know about you guys. Maybe it'll be a weird game, but it feels like this should be a high scoring game tonight. That's the assumption. Jared Goff, the Lions just scored 50. The Ravens just scored 40 or whatever it was against Cleveland.
The Ravens also gave up 40 to the Bills in the first game of the season.
And Cleveland's defense looks pretty tough. So like to drop 40 on them now, in fairness, Flacco. It was the fourth quarter. Like that game was very low scoring and in the teens. And then they let just kind of a runaway game happen on them, which happens in the NFL sometimes, especially if you're a bad football team. So like part of it is certainly that. But yeah, I mean, look, the truth is, I think despite the fact I understand it hurts their standings in the AFC, I think I kind of want the Ravens to win. I don't want the Ravens coming into Arrowhead feeling like they are in a must-win situation, as in lose this game to the Chiefs and we're 1-3 and we are in trouble. Not like in trouble to miss the playoffs.
No, but both teams would be in that same spot.
No, but I don't want both teams. I want just one team to feel they're in that spot. Yeah, Kansas City. I don't want Baltimore feeling like they're in this, better win the game tonight. If they're 2-1, they don't have to come into the game in the headspace of, if we lose this game, we're 1-3, and we've set ourselves way the hell back in the AFC, all because they let that game against the Bills get away from them.
Yeah, they would have losses in that scenario if they lose, you know, to Chiefs and the Bills at that point in time and have no chance in any tiebreakers. I think I agree with you on what's at stake. I don't know if you know, that's this early mindset. In the season, if that's the Ravens' mindset. They're going to Arrowhead. They've played the Chiefs. They lost to them in the playoffs a couple times over the last few years as well. Like I don't know if that's would be my worry that like you're playing a desperate Baltimore team. I just think, again, we know with the Chiefs, their issues that they have. Every single game is going to be tight. I understand they won by 13 last night, but that game was still close, even though they beat the Giants 22-9. And so, you know, the Ravens game is going to be very, very tough. They're going to have to be more like what they were in the second half offensively. Clearly, if they have any sort of performance like the first half offensively against Baltimore, the Chiefs are going to be in big, big trouble.
The game will be over. Sunday. They won't even get to the second half of the football game. They're going to have to play a lot better football than they've played in any of the three games to beat Baltimore this week. But I also just don't want, in addition to that, Baltimore to be hungry. Because they have let a game get away from them. They let this Lions game get away. They are staring down the barrel of 1-3. And that doesn't mean that Baltimore will miss the playoffs. I think they're just too good of a team. I think Lamar Jackson's too good. A million other reasons why.
I think if the Chiefs weren't 1-2 as well, I would hear you out more on it. Like the Chiefs are, they know what's at stake as well. I mean, they're going to be playing still backs against the wall for quite some time. They're still only a 1-2 football team. The Chiefs don't, you know, are in danger of falling to 1-3.
Can they breathe at 3-3? Would you lock in 3-3? I would. If I told you six games in, they're 3-3.
Well, now I would, knowing that they're 1-2 and Baltimore is coming up, absolutely.
And Detroit.
Yeah.
We have to watch both of these opponents tonight. Detroit's their opponent 3 weeks from now. The last game before Rashee Rice gets back.
Yeah.
Both of these are teams they have to face in the next 3 weeks. They've just got Jacksonville squeezed in between them. This is a huge matchup of future Chiefs opponents.
It is.
Tonight.
No, it should be a good game. I'm excited for Monday Night Football.
Somebody said, I just realized the Chiefs actually covered the points.
They did.
It had been a while, hadn't it?
Yeah, since I think the divisional round last year, maybe, or something like that. Last time they covered. But the Chiefs are 2.5-3 point underdogs already, depending on what happens tonight against Baltimore. So this will be now the back-to-back home games from Mahomes, an underdog. It'll be three of Mahomes' starts now that'll be an underdog. It'll just be the third time, and he is not covered in the prior two.
Yeah, he's
0-2. And they've lost. Yeah, they've lost outright the prior two.
Yep, they lost to the Bills, and then obviously they just lost to the Eagles. So now, that is not a big enough sample size to make any determination.
This will be his 70th game at home, and this will be the third time he's an underdog.
But in fairness, again, we said this after the first one. Vegas has been right the two times. Like, the two times they've been right. They said Mahomes was a home underdog, and they were correct. He should have been a home underdog. It was games that they lost. I just think more important than Baltimore, we understand they're just going to have to not make mistakes. They've made so many mistakes in these first three games. I don't even think they can play the way they played against New York for four quarters and win.
Well, not for four. Yeah, I mean, that's
like if I'm counting the first half
was terrible.
Not to beat a dead horse or whatever on the end of this thing, but like.
Yeah, PETA's going to come after you. You know,
I can't say that.
I mean, did you see? I only bring that up.
Isn't
because
that a saying?
The ridiculousness. So I don't know if you guys saw. There was an article out today. PETA's upset with Tom Brady.
Why? What did he say?
So I'll admit, Tom Brady. I don't know what phrase. Like we've all heard the
the one I just
killed,
said.
Well, that one or kill two birds with one stone. Okay,
sure. Common ones.
At one point, when George Pickens was throwing his helmet around, Tom Brady was like, you know, sometimes you throw your helmet around or you kick the dog. You're like, what? But that's what he said. So then PETA, they complain about everything, but PETA is not happy with Tom Brady. They said he should be more careful. But then they also, in the same press release, sent out like examples of other phrases they want people to stop using. And one of them was kill two birds with one stone, or what Cody said.
What's their replacement for?
I don't know. But it's funny you said that because
that's the proper follow-up.
Yeah, PETA's not happy.
What do you suggest we say instead?
This is why nobody takes them seriously, because it's like the dog one, I'll admit, was kind of weird from Tom Brady, whatever.
Yeah, no one's ever said that sentence before.
But kill two birds with one stone, like, okay, what are we freaking out about? You know, beating dead horses.
Same reason why, we were concerned about, we were trying to get the peacock in studio.
Feed two birds with one scone. You know?
That's not a saying. Feed two birds with one scone.
That is a saying. That is a saying.
Come on. They expect me to say that with a straight face? Feed two birds with one scone? Can't we just make it non-animal?
That's their point. That's what Pete is saying.
Instead of bigger fish to fry, they said bigger fish to free.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. Instead of beat a dead horse, their suggestion is feed a fed horse.
Oh God. It just doesn't have the same ring
to
it.
Feed a fed horse.
It doesn't sound the same.
I totally agree. If you're gonna have a say, like,
get some good ones.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Give me another saying that doesn't have anything to do with animals. Like,
They have not provided a better alternative. The Tom Brady one was weird. I don't know why he said or throw a helmet or kick a dog. That was weird. I don't know.
Free a big fish.
Somebody said instead of take the bull by the horns, they suggest you say take the flower by the thorns.
Oh, no, okay.
Those aren't the same things.
Yeah, it sounds painful.
Feed two birds with one scone.
Yeah.
They just have so many of them. Instead of saying a feather in your cap, I can't even say a feather in your cap.
The bird might still be alive.
Can't say a flower in your cap. You can't say take them seriously because of this kind of stuff.
I finally found one that I think is better, or at least as good as the original saying. They said instead of ants in your pants, say itches in your britches. Fine, I like that one equally as much as ants in your pants. Are you happy? In your britches is just as funny as ants in your pants. I'll give you that one.
It's not necessarily cringe, but if you say anytime you refer to pants as britches. You were born, no offense to my parents, pre-1965.
Man, yeah, itches in your britches, is it? I'll give them that one.
You are 60 plus if you are saying, if you're referring to pants as britches.
I could swat a fly in the studio, and if you sent a video and went viral, they would go after me.
When we tried to get a peacock in studio,
that's what I was saying, yeah.
That guy straight up told us, I cannot bring a peacock in studio. PETA will ruin my life.
That was
pretty much word for word what the guy said when they were going to have the first playoff game streaming on Peacock.
We made a phone call, and there was a genuine concern about what could come of it.
TMZ had an article this morning that they were mad with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was trying to say is if this wasn't my job, like if I didn't have to watch the Chiefs game for a living, that's the closest I got to. I'm just going to turn this game off, and I'm not going to finish watching it. I'm done watching this football. That first half of the Chiefs game, I'm like, I'm done watching this football. This is unenjoyable.
I don't want to see it.
This is bad football, and I'm not interested.
Oh, it was bad football, but I wasn't, whether I was doing sports talk radio for a living or just a Chiefs fan, I wasn't going to turn the game off.
Was a game that involved two teams that you didn't like, you're on the Netflix.
Yeah, but on a primetime game, I'll watch. Like, if it was the 3:25 kickoffs that are terrible, there's plenty of those where I'll check out when they're bad. Arizona versus San Francisco is always seemingly that game, by the way. This one ended up being better, but
It's a Netflix
primetime game. I'm more likely to stick through a bad primetime game, but it was bad football, plain and simple.
We have a different philosophy on Thursday or Sunday Night Football. If that was Sunday Night Football and it was two other teams, I'm out. The second halftime clicks over. I'm like, well, I'm not going back to that game unless it's interesting later, which seems unlikely based on the fact that this is one of the least interesting things I've ever seen in a half of football.
Yeah.
At least Patrick Mahomes made that one play before half. That brought me a little juice. He had to dodge two defenders, run all the way to the sideline, and did an effort. He's down there somewhere. For the first time, it seemed like forever.
The DPI play works, man.
Hell yeah.
Should try it a few more times.
A lot of the good plays, I was keeping track, I don't know how many of them there were, a lot of the good plays that the Chiefs had came against Phillips, number 22 for the Giants, did not have a very good game, whether it was the PI, whether it was the catch for Tyquan in the end zone, whether it was the catch that almost got him into the end zone. I mean, it was 22 for the Giants was featured in a lot of those mistakes.
And Tyquan down to the one, he was interfered on that play. He was mugged on that reception and still made the catch. Like,
oh yeah.
So they missed a few, but like the Hollywood one, that's easy. He shoved him to the ground. Like, they're not going to.
Oh yeah. Nobody's complaining about that call. One. That's just,
I saw one Giants fan complain about it, but that's also just like the league is rigged for the Chiefs people. And I guess mistakenly missed the like 14 non false start calls from the previous week or whatever. I didn't see, by the way, did they get called for a false start on?
I don't think they did, but the Saints got called for one.
This is funny. The Saints got penalized. The Eagles, there were still times where the Eagles were leaving early and they didn't call it.
So just nothing. Just not doing anything.
Nothing really changed, yeah. Again, the change will be in the offseason when they ban it. That'll be the change.
Yeah, whatever. It is what it is now. They'll just wait till the offseason, get the one additional. That's it, by the way. One additional vote you need. Get that thing banned. The play can't be officiated. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Who's the worst team in the NFL in your mind? Think it's the Saints? I'm just watching a highlight.
It might be. Them or the Titans, probably.
Probably Saints or Titans? It's probably the Saints. Yeah, it's probably the Saints because of who they've played to. like they quarterback
played a tough schedule.
Quarterback wise, they've played Sam Darnold, Mac Jones, and week one.
Do they play the Raiders week one? Bengals? Who do they play?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Who did the Saints play? The
Arizona.
Oh, Arizona.
So Kyler Murray's the best quarterback they faced in their 0-3.
Mm.
But they played like competitive football for
in the first
parts
one.
Of those games.
The first one they actually first had a chance games. To win.
Yeah. They got whipped by Seattle. That wasn't even close.
Sam Darnold, 44 points on the board. My goodness.
There were like three or four blowouts yesterday.
Yeah.
Like pure blowouts. Talking 30.
Washington, that one, and the Bengals game were all just.
And then Seattle beat the Saints 44-13, and then the Panthers beat the Falcons 30-0.
Yeah, what the hell happened there? Michael Penix no good? We can get
a rough
tomorrow.
Yeah,
the Colts destroyed the Titans as well. There were multiple teams that put up 40 points over the weekend.
Do we just need to, you know, do nothing but the rest of these PETA suggestions? What do you think that their suggestion is instead of can't teach an old dog new tricks?
Oh gosh, why is that offensive?
Don't want to teach. Can't talk about dogs that way.
What
can't
do you
teach
mean?
An old
you can't teach,
clown
you can't,
new tricks.
You can't teach dogs tricks. That's viewed as abuse. Teaching a dog a trick.
Catch more flies with honey. Try befriend more flies with molasses. Why can't I say honey? Why am I changing honey?
Befriend more flies with molasses. We're done here.
Huh. Yeah.
Honestly, if they're going to make suggestions for it, you got to make better ones.
Hmm.
Otherwise, we're just going to stick to the old ones.
We're back at it tomorrow here on Cody and Gold, 10-2. Coming up tomorrow on the show, Nate Taylor expected to join us. We'll also have the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo. The Royals are technically not mathematically eliminated, but I want to talk to him about Carter Jensen, obviously, and maybe look ahead to the future a little bit. Plus, a little all 32 on the show. Hope you guys have a good rest of your Monday. The Drive with CDOT and Rob up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.